Hebrew girl who became queen, and God worked a remarkable work through her, and that God would speak to us today. Let's just pray as we open God's word together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the living, active, inspired word of God. We thank you, Lord, that your word is truth, and we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us to apply that word to each of our hearts today, that we may know the power of your Spirit and your love as we do so. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So today my hope and prayer is that this passage will awaken a fresh passion in us today to be used of God, for us to serve the Lord in every part of our lives, that there's both today a sort of message of comfort and of alarm. You know, when the alarm clock goes off, we don't like the alarm clock because it's waking us up. And actually, the Bible is often like an alarm clock. It sort of goes off in the background and wakes us up sometimes. And it's good to be woken up when we don't want to stay in perpetual sleep. We want to be woken up and to be about the Master's business. You ever see those buses that are going around saying, "Not in service"? I want us to be buses in service, serving the Lord. None of us are not in service. I was thinking of it today, and I was thinking one day, whenever the Lord takes me into his presence, I want to go into heaven active in service. Amen? We want to be serving the Lord until we get to glory. And that's what Esther is about. It's calling us to know that we have a purpose, that God has a mission for us, that God has a work for us to do while we're here on earth, and that we are here for such a time as this, that we have been, God has called us to live even in these times, to be in this church, to be in this community. You're not here by accident, you're here because God has called you to be here for such a time as this. God is calling us, he's calling everyone. Jesus calls us to take up our cross daily and to follow him. He calls us to himself. He calls us to follow him. "Follow me," Jesus said to those first disciples. He calls us to come alive in him, as it says in Ephesians 2. He made us alive in Christ. That's what God's heart is for us all today, to be alive in him, our living head, clothed in righteousness divine, taking up our cross daily, following Christ. We are all called. God is calling everyone. And we want to be serving the Lord together. That's how God called Moses. Moses was a man unexpected. He didn't expect to hear God speaking to him there in the desert. He was in the threshing floor, and he wasn't expecting God to call him either. And he thought he was the least. He gave all sorts of excuses as to why he was exempt from God's call, and yet God put his hand on Gideon's life. God called Noah, remember, right there in the book of Genesis, when he was least expecting it as well, and he was a man who was a righteous man in a very wicked world. And our world today is full of wickedness and turning against God, and we are like Noah's today, and we are being called to do the will of God in our wicked generation. God put his hand on Mary. We have it up there in the stained glass window behind me. When the angel appeared to Mary, the favor of the Lord is with Mary. And we're going to be celebrating over the Christmas season how God put his hand on a teenager's life to do something remarkable. And God's hand is upon us as his people. His hand was upon Esther when she was least expecting it as well, over there in the Persian foreign land, where she wasn't expecting to be at the center of a national crisis for her people, and yet that's where she found herself, and God took her and used her. And I remember for me, when the Lord spoke to me, when I was 15 years old and I was at secondary school, and I opened my Bible one day at lunchtime, and God put his hand upon my life. I read there the book in Acts 26 when the Lord, the Apostle Paul, was describing his call from God, how God had turned him from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so that he would declare he'd be the apostle to the Gentiles. He would go and bear the good news to those who didn't yet know Christ. And I remember the Lord stirring my heart there on the park bench as a 15-year-old, and God got hold of my life and said, I want to use you for my glory. And my prayer today is that God will get hold of all our lives. And I know we're all serving the Lord in different ways, but my prayer is that we have fresh manna. We have that fresh bread today, that fresh sense of the call of God is today. Today, if you hear his voice, we are called by the Lord today. And so the question in my mind is, what is our part? Esther played her part in the time, in the emergency that was in her own land with the imminent destruction of her people. And she played her part. She did what God called her to do. And I wonder today if we're asking the question, well, what is my part? Lord, what part do you want me to play? Lord, how do you want to send me into this broken, lost world that is under God's judgment? How, Lord, do you want, Lord, what passion do you want to put into my heart to serve you, to play my part? So let's look here in Esther 4, this ordinary woman, this woman who was alive in the 5th century before Jesus, before Christ, because there was a tremendous crisis facing them at that time. Haman, who was out to destroy the people of God, was active in planning the destruction of the Jewish people. He wanted a genocide. He wanted to get rid of the people of God. He was an active agent of the devil in his day. Wickedness in his day. And there was a time of intimidation, a time when Haman wanted people to bow to him, and Mordecai refused to bow to Haman. And it caused such tension. There was tension, there was intimidation of God's people. There was a real plan about to destroy the Jews. And it was imminent here. And there was a moment of crisis here in Esther chapter 4, as the people of God were wondering if they would make it through the next day. But when God had, in his sovereign grace, had placed Esther there in the royal courts, and she was someone that they didn't know in the royal courts that she was a Jew, but she, Mordecai and her were in communication. And Mordecai said, who knows, Esther, it's time for you to speak. It's time for you not to be silent, but to speak up for your people, to speak up to the king. And we know that at that time, it was against the law to approach the king without permission. And unless he extended the golden scepter to you, you could be put to death for just approaching the king. So that's what Mordecai, that was the plan that Mordecai put to Esther. You should go in and talk to the king. Otherwise, the people are going to perish. The people are going to be destroyed. Can you imagine receiving that note and thinking, my goodness, she wrote back to Mordecai saying, don't you know that if I go in, according to the law, I will be put to death? That you have been called to such a royal position for such a time as this. It was a time of need. It was a time of judgment, a time of intimidation, a time of trial, of difficulty, and yet it was God's time for Esther to stand up and to be counted, to take up, if you like, to use New Testament language, to take up her cross and follow the Lord. And that's what Esther did, and she wrote that tremendous message back. She said, fast for me. And then she said, I'm going to go into the king, and if I perish, I perish. I'm sure Esther would have struggled before she wrote that note back to Mordecai. She would have wrestled with the cost. She would have wrestled with the sense of, my, this is a sacrificial thing I'm going to do. I'm going to do something, and it might cost my life, but I'm going to do it anyway. Because it's about saving people, saving my nation. And friends, today, may God give us the same attitude as Esther. We will say, we will do the will of God no matter the cost. We will take up our cross. Like Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. That's the attitude that was in the early church. That's the attitude that was with Queen Esther. And I believe this is for us too today. Esther stepped up with great courage, even though it could have cost her her life. She could have made great excuse. I would have come up with the great excuse, and maybe a number of us would. I can't go in and see the king. It's against the law. I might die. And yet she saw the need. Because if she didn't go in, the whole nation may well have perished. And so firstly, just a couple of points here. Firstly, Esther understands her calling. Verse 14, that she is there for such a time as this. God has placed her where she is for a reason. And I want to say this morning that we want to understand that God has called you and me to live where we live, to do what we're doing for him and for his glory and for his mission in the earth. We are here to get involved, to make a difference. God wants to be significant. I meet so many Christians up and down the land. I speak in various places and here. Don't have confidence that God can use them, who feel insignificant, who feel that they haven't got what it takes. And I just want to encourage you today that in the power in the love of Christ and in the power of the Spirit, you are significant in the purposes of God. God wants to use you. God can take your life and your witness and your words for Christ and your life lived for Christ and use you with your neighbors, with your friends, with those who around you in your circle of influence to bring them to Christ. Because just like the people in Esther's day, if people don't believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they will not be saved. And there is a judgment to come. Like Amos said, prepare to meet your God. And there are many people within half a mile of where we're sitting today who are not ready to meet God. And there is an eternity facing everyone in either heaven or hell. And we today have an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus with others, to save them from destruction. And we are the ones that God is saying, it's the spotlight is on you. Are you active in service? Are you willing to be used of God to win others for Christ? Have you heard God calling you to share the gospel, to be about the Master's business, to have that mission, to care, to love, to share in word and in deed the love of Christ? Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, the love of Christ compels us. We don't do this for duty, we do it because we love people. Esther went into the king, not because she had to, but because she loved her people. She didn't want to see them destroyed. She wanted to see her people liberated. And that, praise God, is what actually happened in the end. We're going to come on to that in a second, but Esther understood her calling. God had her in that place for that time, for a reason, and God has got you where he has you for a reason. We're not here just to eat, drink, sleep, go to work, come home, have a holiday. That's not all there is to this life. God has all of us, no matter our circumstances, our God, for the mission of God. That's why we're here, and I pray that we all have the same heart, that one day we'll enter heaven active, having been the second before we enter heaven, we were active in service, serving the Lord. None of us, there's no retirement in the kingdom of God. I do not expect to retire. I expect to go on in one way or another, serving Jesus. And the second thing is this. Not only did Esther understand her calling, but Esther was willing to sacrifice for the sake of others. She was willing to sacrifice. There's two things here. Firstly, she started by fully relying on God. How did she begin her great mission? It started in fasting. It started in depending on God. She said to Mordecai, fast for me. Fast and pray. Fasting and prayer. In other words, this is about depending wholly on God. We want to depend on the Lord. We might say, well, how can I do these things? What can I do? And I want to say, let's start in the place of prayer and fasting. Let's seek God. I'm a great believer in getting down on your knees and saying, Lord, use me. It starts on our knees. It starts dependent. It doesn't start with us going, look what we can do. Aren't we amazing? We can do X, Y, Z. It doesn't start from that way. It starts from the place of humility, of depending on God and saying, God, I need you in this. God, would you be at the center of how you want to use me? God, I'm trusting in you. I'm depending on you. And no wonder Esther asked for fasting, because I'm sure she was afraid. I'm sure she was petrified. I'm sure she was apprehensive, to say the least, that she was going into the presence of the king and didn't know what his response might be. And we all get apprehensive. I get apprehensive. I'm fearful when I share my faith. I don't find it easy to go out and talk to people about Jesus. We all find that we have that sort of blockage sometimes where we think the last thing we want to do. And it can be scary. But I want to encourage us today to be courageous. But to be courageous in the strength of the Lord. Not just in pulling our socks up and having a go, but actually saying, let's trust God for the way that he wants to use us. And start the mission of God in our lives on our knees. And depending upon God, seeking God is so vital in this moment. And that's the first thing. Just the second thing here about her being willing to sacrifice is these tremendous words of Scripture. I think these are words that need to be heard more. She said to Mordecai, if I perish, I perish. Wow. Isn't that remarkable? Could we say that this morning? That's what the many of the persecuted church have said. Those martyrs, those who've given their very lives for the cause of Christ. If I perish, I perish. That was the attitude of the Apostle Paul. And no matter what the cost. So often today in our churches, we want comfort rather than the cross. But Jesus never promised us a comfortable life. He promised us that we would, if you want to be my disciple, take up your cross daily, he said, and deny yourself and follow me. That's the mark of a disciple. We don't always get what we want in the kingdom of God. We want what he wants. That's our supreme desire, our ultimate affection, the glory of God, the mission of God, the winning of people for Christ. The loving of people, the kindness and the exercise of all the gifts and fruit of the Spirit through our lives to make a difference, to live for the kingdom of God. That's what the calling of God is on our lives. And Esther understood it. She said, if I perish, I perish. There were no excuses from Esther. And I've seen a couple of examples of this. Even this week, I was involved in the funeral this week of a man who has been in our second service, the 10:30 service. He's been with us for just under a year. His name is Gary Knott, and today he's with Jesus. But his funeral was remarkable up there in Harlow this week. Packed service. Gary was a man who lived his life for Christ. He was a man who shared Jesus with so many people, and many, many tributes were made, and people were saying, I've never known a man like Gary. He showed us Jesus. He did it in word, and he did it in deed. I remember one man saying, that was the kind of man Gary was. He was willing to sacrifice. He lived his life for others and for the kingdom of God in word and deed. And I think that's remarkable. That spoke to me. And I asked myself the question, am I willing to sacrifice? Am I willing to go the second, the third, the fourth mile for others? Am I willing to spend and be spent like John Wesley was described as, a man out of breath pursuing souls, someone who wanted to win people for his Savior at any and all opportunity. There are 130,000 people in Epping Forest today. And how many of them are heading to destruction? You know the old Pilgrim's Progress, the city of destruction that evangelist pointed Pilgrim out towards the narrow gate towards the cross. And there are 130,000 souls in our community today, 31,000 of them in our own town. And they're living in the place of destruction unless God calls Esthers among his people to say, who knows, but you are alive for such a time as this, to see people come to faith in Jesus Christ, to see this community saved and set free and loved and cared for in the power of the Holy Spirit. And friends, today, I've seen this in so many places, God puts a passion in someone's heart. It happened with Heather, who had that passion to begin Epping Forest Food Bank. It's happened with Arthur and Pauline as they've got the passion to lead the job club and to share in word and in deed with others. Douglas there with Gideon's ministry. I could go on with many others in the life of our congregation here who are serving the Lord with word and with deed and sharing the love of Jesus. If I perish, I perish, said Esther. God, give us that passion to live for your kingdom. And my prayer is that every one of us would come alive. And I think it's when we're in that place of serving Jesus, of sharing the gospel, of loving others, of speaking of Christ to our neighbors and our friends, that's when we come alive in our faith. And where it's not just something we do on a Sunday, but where we do every day, where this is what life is about. This is what life is for, that we may tell out my soul the praises of the Lord, and that we may be spent and be spent for him. So today, friends, this is my message today. You are alive for such a time as this. We are in this together, and it's all of us. Every single one of us, while you're drawing breath before Jesus takes you to be with him, let's use our every breath we've got to tell the praises of Jesus and to preach the gospel to the nations. Let's rely upon God as we do it, and let's be prepared to sacrifice. Let's not shrink back and say, well, oh, I would have done it, but I don't want to sacrifice X, Y, and Z. Through ill health, that man Gary I was telling you about, he had leukemia while he was doing these works for the kingdom. So he didn't sit back and say, well, it's all about me now. He did what he felt God called him to do. And so today, friends, what is your part? What's my part? What's God saying to us? Are we listening? Can we hear his voice, the voice of the Savior saying, this is your part. This is your part. And they're all significant, large or small. They're all significant. Whatever God calls you to do, whatever you've got the energy, the grace to do, do that. Don't worry if you haven't got the energy that other people have got, then do what you can do for the kingdom of God. But let's all be active in service, with zeal, serving Jesus. Amen? It's about Jesus. It's not about St. Mary's. It's about Jesus. So let me pray for us. I think that we'll turn the alarm clock off just now. But let me pray that God will stir our hearts afresh for his glory. Father, I thank you for all my brothers and sisters in Christ today. And Lord, it's a privilege to be alive now. It's such a privilege, Lord, because we know you have a purpose for us to love people, to share the gospel with people, to pray for people, to share your goodness, Lord, in whatever way we can. And I just ask, Father, that today there would be a grace and an empowering upon your people today. Oh, Lord, give us the power of the Holy Spirit. Help us to trust in you, Jesus. Help us to break through our fears and to be courageous. Help us, Lord God, to put into practice and to really come alive in your word. We thank you, Jesus, that you love us. And I pray that one day when we see one another in the glory of your presence in heaven, that we will know that we gave everything while we were here on earth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.